delighted to be joined by Bernard Mayer, Head of Continuous Manufacturing at Gerica. As a research assistant and during his thesis at the Technical University of Munich, Bernard Mayer investigated the impact of parameters on feed rate fluctuations of a continuous blender. He joined Gerica as a project engineer and gained extensive knowledge and experience in bulk solid handling. Today he is the head of Gerica's Department for Continuous Manufacturing. With more than 125 years experience in the field of bulk material handling, Gerica is a leading supplier of turnkey solutions for continuous manufacturing of oral solid dosage forms. Hello, Bernard, and welcome to the Pharma Tech Talks podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about continuous manufacturing of high-potent drugs. So let's get started. Well, Gerica have got a long tradition in powder handling technologies, mostly recognised for the food industry. Can you give us some insights into the history of Gerica and how you managed to move into continuous feeding and mixing of pharma powders?
Yeah, so Gerica has actually quite a long history. Our company is 125 years old, and we've always been pioneering in continuous feeding and continuous blending of powders. As you mentioned, first it was mainly the food and the chemical industry, but it's actually as early as the 90s where our general manager, Ralph Weinekötter, wrote his PhD thesis about continuous feeding and blending. And with this thesis, he was trying to promote the technology to the pharmaceutical industry. However, in the 90s, it was met with little approval by both the pharma companies and obviously also the regulatory bodies. It wasn't until the early 2000s where we've been approached by a large US pharma company to kind of miniaturize our equipment and build the first continuous blender for continuous direct compression. And over the recent years, the industry has gained a lot of momentum, and the first drugs that have been approved on continuous manufacturing equipment have been released. And Gerica, meanwhile, has become one of the market leaders in supplying equipment for the continuous manufacturing of oral solid dosage forms.
And what sort of fascinates you about material handling for the pharma industry?
Well, it's two things, really. It's, first of all, powders and the nature of powders. Some powders, they may flow like water. Other powders may not flow at all, although chemically it may be made up from the same molecule. So each powder may have its own challenges. And the other thing is, when I was a young engineer, I always kind of wanted to have a positive impact on society. And now supplying cutting edge technology to the pharmaceutical industry actually helps a lot of patients living a better life. And that kind of still keeps me motivated after 10 years in the industry.
Yes, it's very rewarding, isn't it? So the title of today's episode is Continuous Manufacturing of High-Potent Drugs. Can you give us a brief introduction into this technology and sort of guide us through one of your systems, just so that the listeners get a better idea of the topic and your technology?
Yeah. So in traditional batch manufacturing, the process usually consists of several steps or unit operations, which are done in a specific order, like dispensing of powders, blending, granulation, and eventually tablet compression. Whereas in continuous manufacturing, all these process steps may be interlinked to each other. And as the name suggests, there's a continuous flow all the way from the powders through our loss and weight feeders, through a continuous blender, and eventually into the tablet press. And since we're not processing a discrete quantity of powders anymore, there's no batch size, so to speak, anymore. It's not fixed by the volume you're processing, but it's fixed by the runtime of the equipment. So eventually batch size becomes flexible. So the bigger the batch, the longer you can run the equipment.
Okay. And it's now becoming quite popular, continuous manufacturing, but it did take a bit of time to get there. Why do you think this is the case?
Well, for one reason, pharmaceutical industry is a highly regulated industry. So in general, the industry tends to be very conservative and tends to stick to the things that they know how they work. Another reason is that in the past decade or so, the pharmaceutical industry didn't really have to be efficient when manufacturing drugs. So the actual manufacturing cost of a tablet was almost negligible compared to all the other development costs of a new molecule. So manufacturing didn't really play a big role, and it was absolutely acceptable to waste whole batches due to bad quality. But today, it's kind of the trend is more to high potent, low volume drugs, and eventually very, very pricey APIs as well. Mm-hmm. So the manufacturing cost all of a sudden and the quality plays a huge role in the overall cost of manufacturing of a drug. And therefore, it was time to adopt to new, more advanced technologies of how drugs are manufactured.
And what about the approving bodies such as the FDA, the EMA? How have they taken to this new technology, new approach, shall we say?
Well, funnily enough, it was the FDA that was pushing for this technology, because they were the first ones that realized, well, the traditional way of how tablets are made these days isn't very efficient, and the quality is actually very, very bad compared to continuous manufacturing. So it was the FDA pushing companies to adopt new, more advanced technologies. And in the recent years, both FDA and EMA have shown very, very supportive in guidance on how to adopt this new technology. And lastly, with the new release of the ICH Q13, there's a lot of regulatory certainty now on how to manufacture drugs continuously.
What are some of the main benefits? Cost sort of springs to mind for a continuous process. Yeah. Do you have any sort of idea of cost reductions that you could estimate at all?
Yeah. So the main benefits are really the higher quality of products that you can achieve,
okay.
The flexible batch size, which allows you also a faster time to market. And eventually, with continuous manufacturing, you can also reduce capital and operational expenditure. And last but not least, you can also significantly reduce your carbon footprint. So at the end, it depends obviously on the product you're producing, but some people estimate that you can save up to 60 to 70% on your facility, because the equipment is more compact, you need less GMP space, thus smaller buildings. Also on the operational side, since it's a fully automated process, you can save on operational cost. And that may add another 30 to 50% cost reduction in your operational costs. Yeah. And last but not least, you may save a lot of API during development, which can save you even more. So in general, the benefits are quite significant.
Yeah, quite considerable there. What sort of other processing equipment trends are you seeing out there?
Mm-hmm. So continuous manufacturing is kind of developing into two directions at the moment. So one is the kind of large volume, large scale production, lines running 24/7, putting out millions of tablets per hour. And that's usually associated to generics manufacturing, because for them, the benefit of the reduced operational cost justifies the equipment in a couple of years easily. On the other side, we see that the industry wants to adopt continuous manufacturing for these mentioned low-dose, high-potent drugs. And therefore, Gericke specifically has developed a technology called mini-batch blending, which makes continuous manufacturing suitable for low volume, low batch sizes.
Okay. So mini batching, could you elaborate a little bit on that? What exactly is it?
Yeah. So mini batch is a semi-continuous approach to continuous manufacturing. Sounds a bit weird, but it's fully aligned with the ICH Q13 guidelines, for instance. It's basically the combination of a fully automated and batch-wise feeding with batch-wise blending with other continuous unit operations like a tablet compression machine. So in a nutshell, it's almost like the combination of the best of two worlds. So the traditional batch manufacturing with all the benefits from continuum manufacturing. So it offers the same simple, robust control strategy as a batch process, but it's also suitable for low volume, low dose products.
Okay, so it has some flexibility in there as well.
Yeah, yeah. And you can run small batch sizes, for instance, 1 kilogram, whereas in a truly continuous line, you would have a lot of startup and shutdown losses, eventually reducing the overall efficiency of your product.
Yeah. You mentioned this technology is targeted at high-potent drugs. What are kind of the main advantages over the traditional batch processes for a containment application?
So as mentioned at the beginning, continuous manufacturing is also the interlinking of unit operations into a complete process train. So from powders all the way to tablets. And this essentially minimizes the containment interfaces between machines. So basically the material transfer from an IBC blender to a granulation machine is non-existing anymore because the machines are now interlinked to each other. Another big benefit is it's a fully automated process. So there is no or minimal need for operator intervention. And this drastically reduces the exposure of any operator to any harmful powders. And another benefit is the equipment is actually quite compact. So a whole continuous blender, for instance, can easily fit into an isolator. So you can put the equipment into an isolator and then make it suitable even for OEB5 and higher.
Interesting. So let's just slightly change the topic and speak about process supervision during production. Mm-hmm. I know it's a huge topic in the pharma industry.
Yeah.
How does Gerica approach the issue and what do you expect for the future?
Yeah. So process control and process supervision is really key for a fully automated process because it's not an operator manipulating the system anymore. It's all done by a supervisory control system. So our approach has been that we develop a state-of-the-art automation platform, which still allows a high degree of flexibility. Also, it's vendor neutral. So our equipment can be integrated with any type of downstream process, whether it be tablet compression, granulation, hot melt extrusion, or even sachet fillings, for instance. Another key fact is that we have designed this in an open way. So we allow our customers full access to all the data that's generated on our system in real time. So they can use this data, they can actually use this for electronic batch records, or they can use it for any other requirements that will arise with the huge topic of Pharma 4.0.
Okay, and what are the key advantages of improved process supervision?
Yeah. So since I mentioned we record all this process data in real time, we're not only storing this data, we're actually using this data to make decisions whether the process is in a state of control. And as soon as it deviates from the state of control, we actually can take necessary actions to ensure that you always produce high quality products. And in addition to that, we can add modern PAT or soft sensors to inline assess quality attributes of your finished product.
And in what ways do you expect the automation to impact on the process equipment, if any at all?
So currently we're doing a university and industry project where we're building a so-called digital twin of our equipment. So that digital twin will allow our customers to simulate a process on our equipment without actually using any powders. So this way, they will drastically reduce API consumption during process development. So basically, you feed some data into the model, and that model then predicts on how our equipment behaves and what settings you need to use to set up the equipment. And another aspect is that this data can also be used to feed back into so-called advanced process models. So rather than just rejecting out-of-spec material, these advanced process models predict on what change they need to make that it stays within the state of control. And these advanced Protoss models are developed with the use of artificial intelligence and machine learning. So maybe, who knows, one day ChatGPT will run our equipment.
Yeah, very hot topic at the moment.
I hope not, because otherwise I lose my job.
That's true. That's true. There's a downside. Yeah. Okay, so there seems to be quite a bit of investment into the pharma industry from what I'm hearing. What are your plans for the next few years? It sounds interesting.
Yeah, so we've experienced quite a lot of growth over the past year. So we really see that the industry is finally adopting continuous manufacturing. And we've meanwhile doubled the size of the company, and we've started building of a new manufacturing site, which will be dedicated for continuous manufacturing equipment. On the other side, we also realized that it's not only equipment that we're supplying. We're actually doing a lot of consultancy work as well, because it's new technology. It's new both to operators, to scientists, to project managers. So in future, we are also trying to expand this service and consultancy business.
Okay, and what sort of areas will that cover, the different project phases?
Well, it really covers the whole life cycle of such a project. So from the early beginning, where you kind of do your return of investment, your budgetaries, etc. Then obviously, hopefully, eventually, the equipment supply as well. And then a huge part is also the whole training aspect and the process development aspect. So our experienced engineers can support the customers in developing a process on the continuous manufacturing equipment.
And which areas are they struggling with most, the customers? Where might they require the most assistance?
So as it's new technology, I think the biggest struggle is at the beginning to actually change the mindset within a company, because it's still a conservative industry and people think we should do it the way we did it the past 20 years. So it takes some time to convince both project management and general management of a new technology. And then eventually, if the decision is made, we can support them during the qualification of the equipment, the commissioning of the equipment, process development. And in the meantime, we can also train operators, maintenance, and scientists to run our equipment.
Is there a possibility to sort of test the product? I know handling products, sometimes the APIs are quite important, obviously. Do you have the capability to test and monitor the products?
So we do have a range of global test centers around the world. And we're very happy to invite our customers to actually do trials on our equipment. That kind of gives them a bit of confidence and see how the equipment works. However, obviously, in our test labs, we can't handle potent drugs. But we do have a range of rental equipment that customers can rent out and do trials on site. And then potentially also run the compound that they intend to eventually use on this equipment.
Do you assist them when that equipment has gone out on site? Would you accompany the equipment and monitor the testing?
Yes. So we can send our engineers on site to assist you during these trials or through remote services. We've become quite good at that during COVID, obviously.
Yeah.
So we can also offer that service.
Very good. Well, it's been fantastic speaking to you today, Bernard. Is there anywhere else that some of the listeners can go to find out a little bit more about Gericke?
Yeah, so feel free to contact us through our homepage. So it's www.gericke-group.com, or visit us at any of our trade shows. So we'll be attending all the big trade shows like the Interphex, the Interpack, or the ACHEMA. Or if you want to meet us face-to-face, feel free to reach out to one of our 12 global subsidiaries to arrange a face-to-face meeting with us.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Bernard. Been really interesting.